We are grateful for those who are here, and that is especially so with regard to those who are visiting with us. Last Sunday, we had about the largest number we've had in several years because of, at least in part, the number of individuals who were visiting with us. As the holidays go on, it kind of works this way. Some weeks you have people come visiting you, and other times you're going to visit them. And I think there are a number of young families that are out as a result of that, and know of two at least, and there is some illness in our number as well. Appreciate the men who led the singing this day, and the opportunity we have to worship God in this way. The song service that we have each fourth Sunday is always something that is a blessing because it is such an encouragement to us. As you know, next Sunday, is the beginning of a new year. And I'm one that has a tendency to kind of like to think about New Year's resolutions because there is always something in my mind that I need to do better. And whether it be something has to do with physical health, it has to do with some social aspect of my life or whatever, but primarily spiritually, things that I can improve on. And you may know, if you have been here at Westside long enough, that from time to time I'll have sermons that deal with resolutions. Don't have that intended this year, at least not as far as a full-blown lesson. But I did want to spend just a few moments talking about an article that I wrote for the Bulletin this Sunday. So we're not going to break any new ground with this. We'll have covered it pretty well by the time this short talk is over with. But if you would like to read that article in the Bulletin, it is A New Year is Upon Us. And there are basically three big areas that I wanted to make note of that we could work on to improve in the coming year. This is each and every one of us, I think, can improve to one extent or another in our application of these principles. And the point that I make at the end of this article is that if we really improve ourselves in these three big areas, then there will be great improvement in all the little areas. And we could talk about attendance, we could talk about Bible study, we could talk about evangelism, we could talk about the moral life that you live day by day. We could be very specific with regard to those things. I would encourage you, if you have some specific thing that you are troubled by or some weakness that you have, to really get down to the nitty-gritty and focus on the particular things that you can help yourself with. But in truth, if we will simply be better about these three basic things, then all those other things are going to fall into place. It's called a meta-narrative, and I like that idea of meta-narrative. Some of the big narratives that we find in Scripture, we find the scheme of redemption, that's a meta-narrative. We talk about holiness and sanctification, that's one of the big ones that has many applications. But perhaps one of the biggest that is found, which is the first point of the article, is that there is the characteristic of God's people that most perfectly personifies them, if they are indeed serving God, and that is love. And you might remember, of course, from Mark chapter 12, those two great commandments that were emphasized by Jesus. And, of course, the application is not only to those under the Old Covenant, but us as well. That the first of all the commandments is to hear Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment because the point I'm making is we could do better. Seems like each and every one of us. You'll note the nature of involvement that is indicated by this passage in regard to our call to love God. It is completely and totally overwhelming. It is something that was not possible for us to overdo it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Mark 12, verses 29 through verse 31. And so we talk about how that love is foundational. Again, it is that which personifies us as being children. of God. And the reason why we are to love, and the reason why God rightly expects us to love Him and to love one another, is because He first expressed that love to us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that love expressed to us is the reason why the grace was extended. God loved us enough that though we were unlovable, we were rebellious, we were in sin, because He loved us, He desired our salvation. And so He sent His Son. And as such, we ought to love as well. And of course, that love has to do not only with God, but again with the brethren. You'll notice, if you again are reading along in the article, that text from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, the love of which we speak primarily is that word agape, which again, though affection certainly is a part of it, it is not the central tenet of agape love. Again, God loved us though we are unlovable. And the love is expressed by His action. He sent His Son. And what the Apostle Paul reveals in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that that word love is a word of action. Specifically with regard to the impact it has toward others, that love is long-suffering, is kind, is humble, is patient, is polite, is a lover of truth. These are things that characterize the type of love that we are to have with others. And so that is a way in which we can better ourselves. Have you been sufficiently loving to your brother, patient with your brother, polite with your brother? Have you indicated that action toward him that indicates your love for him? And if not, that's something you certainly can work on. And again, I don't want to press this too much, but all of us can improve in that vital area. The second thing is to work on our zeal. And what is evident when you look in Scripture, and of course, when you talk about most people who at least nominally say, I'm a Christian, what you find characteristically of religious people today is they are lacking in zeal. They may express devotion and love for the Lord, but you can't see it in the lives that they live every day. Now remember what Jesus said about the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16 when he talked about how he would prefer them to be either cold or hot. But because they were lukewarm, and from that we indicate again apathy on the part of that church, because you are neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And I think that this expression of Jesus is an indication or a matter of expectation. Individuals who are cold are individuals that don't have an interest in God or Christ at all. And while Christ does not like that, he understands it. He doesn't expect individuals who have no interest in him to be devoted to him. It just doesn't work that way. First the devotion comes, and then the actions that indicate that. The heat, the zeal come as a result of that love that you have for God. So someone who doesn't love God, doesn't love Christ, well, he doesn't expect them to do anything. But consider an individual, a brother or a sister in Christ, who express that love, who say, I have made him my Christ and my Lord. He is most precious to me. And then they do not show it by the devotion that they should have for Christ in their lives. It's a great disappointment to Christ to have individuals who claim to be his followers and yet are doing so little. And so each of us, again, is someone who can work on their zeal, becoming hot for the Lord rather than being lukewarm. The text of Titus chapter 2 indicates this, because he has given himself to us. It teaches us that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. That's what he expects of us because of who we are. A third point, and final point in this short lesson, is to work on your thanksgiving. That is, always being thankful for the many blessings that we receive. Again, it is possible for us to be less than mindful of the things that God has granted us as blessings. And he gives, I give in this particular text, a passage from Luke chapter 17 dealing with the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus. They were asking him for a blessing. They saw him and they said, "Master, have mercy on us." And so Jesus told them. He said, "Go unto the priest and present yourself to the priest." And as they were going, each and every one of them, all 10 of them, were cleansed. But only one of them, a Samaritan, returned to give glory to God. And Jesus' words were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Can you imagine someone who had been granted such a great blessing? Leprosy was a horrific thing. And these lepers were cleansed by the Lord. And yet 9 of the 10 did not even go back to thank him. I want you to remember in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, what is said about that throne room scene where the Father and the Son are on their throne. And we are told the involvement of every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, this is John the Apostle, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And so that desire that we should have to thank God for our many physical and spiritual blessings is sometimes lacking. And we need to work on that. So we can say a lot more. Again, we alluded to those perhaps more granular, more specific things about increasing your prayers to God, sharing the gospel to your friends, studying the Bible every day, consistently attending worship services and classes that meet each week. But the fact is that if you are thankful, zealous, and loving, all of those things, again, will take care of themselves. And so those are things that we can work on and should work on in our lives in the year 2023 to become more acceptable and more fruitful in our efforts to serve God. I'm going to offer an invitation this time, not knowing the hearts of any. If you are here, need to respond to that invitation call, or perhaps there is something that you have been lacking in and you want to make it right, perhaps something that we could assist you with and pray for you about. If there is a need, whatever that need may be, we ask that you come while together we stand and while we sing.